Premier League is back with a bang as Manchester City take on Liverpool. There's flags, flags and more flags in our FPL teams. And it's also time to do a little bit of long-term planning. Right, the international break is over. The Premier League is back. FPL is back. And we have got a packed podcast to celebrate as well. I mean, Irving, I'm in for Kelly Summers again this week. But of course, the other two are back as well. Hello, Sam and Jules.
Hi, Ian.
Hi, everyone.
So, Sam, how have you been spending the break? Have you been missing FPL? You've been longing for its return?
Always. And then wanting to make transfers and going, I can't, because, you know, plenty of stuff might happen over the next couple of weeks. But the transfers have been burning a hole in my pocket. And then, of course, some injuries to contend with, I think, coming after this international break. So holding fire still.
I'd love to make a transfer, but all the players I was looking at taking out aren't flagged, and all the ones I weren't.
I know.
Wasn't going to take out are flagged. So that's going to be fun. We can talk about that as we go on. Jules, have you enjoyed the international break? You're not allowed to mention France in the number 14, just so you know.
It's okay. It was great. As you know, I'm a rare person in England to love the international break. I watch as many games as I can because there's so many games, which is great. You can watch South American football, you can watch European qualifications, for example, Asian
ones.
This
is all to gain FPL knowledge for the podcast, though, isn't it?
Yeah, for everything, because, you know, you can see Bruno Fernandes scoring a great goal, Darwin scoring again. You could see Mitoma leaving the Japanese squad, for example. Heung-min Son, on the other hand, scoring and looking really good. You see the three Gabriel starting against Argentina for Brazil, including Gabriel Jesus, of course, the third one who hadn't played for quite a while. So if you own him, it's a good sign. And he played okay, certainly didn't look to have a setback or anything. And then, as Sam mentioned, there was a few injury worries for Haaland, for Bowen, for Rashford even at some point. So all of that, it's always so eventful, I think, the international breaks.
What have you learned, Sam?
Yeah, I think for me, it's mostly been about how many flags do I have in my team now and what am I going to do with those players? So obviously keeping a close eye on Bowen, on Haaland, and making sure that those two in particular are okay. I think you've got so many other assets like the injury to Antonio, which could have a massive impact on who plays where at West Ham. And you know, maybe if Bowen's out as well, what impact that has, because suddenly that would make Kudos a really interesting pick in FPL. But then without the creativity of Bowen, does that make a massive difference? So I think this international break has been a big learning point, but mostly because of the flags that have come off the back of it.
Yeah, great. There's only actually about 90,000 wildcards in play, which for an international break is quite low. Bowen is perhaps the biggest headache as well, because he's actually the most transferred in player in the game for game week 13. So are people doing the right thing, Sam, or how do you view all of that? Because the interesting thing about some of these injuries in the international break, everyone's playing them down. So you don't know whether that means they're out for this weekend, a short time. It's very hard to know.
It's difficult. And I think with Bowen, when it's an injury that we kind of didn't see happen, it's hard then to know exactly what that looks like. Sometimes when you're watching a game, you see the injury happen, you kind of, in your head, you will turn into medical doctors, right? And you go, oh, he's going to be out for however long. But actually with Bowen, that's much more difficult. And I think a lot of managers would have gone for Bowen early on after what happened in game week 12 and with injuries to people like Maddison heading into that game week. A lot of people would have moved on him just after the last deadline passed and have had him ready to go. His numbers in were really high all the way through this international break. They've obviously slowed down since the injury because people are now starting to stop and just wait for David Moyes to make some comments on him. But yeah, it's difficult. And I think if you've got Bowen in now, you just have to sit and wait and see what Moyes says in the press conference on Friday as to the extent of this. I'll be surprised if he plays in game week 13. But if David Moyes comes out and says, well, he'll be back for the week after, then he's probably still a hole because fixtures are nice for West Ham. But if it looks to be a more longer term injury, then probably going to have to move him on, which is going to be really frustrating for those managers that have already brought him in. And maybe if some of those managers have already brought him in, still have their wild card, we might see an increase in the number of wild cards played in the last couple of days because they'll have to deal with that as an issue.
He was looking like a really important asset for us to have over the Christmas period as well, because he looks like a player who is nailed in that West Ham team. We'll come on to talking about nailedness and how important that might be over the coming games for our FPL teams. The bad news, Jules, is that David Moyes isn't always the most expansive in his updates about injured players. Pep Guardiola is, though. So at least on Friday, we should find out what's happening with Erling Haaland.
Yeah, and to be fair, it didn't look... We've had comments already on Haaland. I mean, Haaland himself, to be fair. And he didn't look... Didn't seem to be that serious. He didn't play the second game with Norway against Scotland, where there was nothing to play for. I think that if there was the qualification on the line for that Scotland game, I'm pretty sure he would have played. There was no need to play him. And the game on Saturday is so big for City, obviously, against Liverpool, that it made a lot of sense to just rest him and pretty much give him the week off, really. So I don't think we should be too worried about Haaland at all. And for Bowen, it's a little bit different because, like Sam said, nobody has talked about it. We just know it's a knee, and the knee can be not much or much more serious as well. So we will have to wait and see. But for Haaland, I don't think we should be too worried now.
No, that's good, because there is more flags going around than the opening ceremony of the Olympics at the moment in our FPL teams. There have been 196 injuries at the last count in the Premier League so far this season, which is an increase of about 15%. And obviously that has a huge knock-on effect on our FPL teams as well. I mean, Sam, we're coming up to the most congested period for FPL in the season. It always is around Christmas. We've got 8 game weeks in the next 42 days. How does this impact the way you think about the game and about the transfers and the planning that you make?
It's massive, because it's not just that, is it? It's the Champions League, the Europa League, the Conference League. It's the EFL Cup, which is thrown in there as well. It's the Club World Cup for Manchester City. It's just game after game after game. And for some teams, that means this kind of relentless period where there's no free midweeks between now and the kind of busy, busy Christmas period. So it makes a massive difference, and it makes me kind of look at the size of the squads, whether there's likely to be rotation, because if you're going to invest in players that are rotation risks, then you need to make sure that your bench is good enough to cover that. You also need to make sure that the fixtures are nice enough that you want to play those players. It is a bit of a minefield when it comes to this period, and you have to accept that your bench is likely to be needed over the next few weeks.
That's different as well, Jules, isn't it, to the rest of the season, where you try and minimise how much you spend on your bench to maximise what's in your starting 11. But maybe your eighth attacker becomes important, your fourth defender maybe becomes important as well. You have to think about these positions differently in this period of the season than almost any other part of the year.
Yeah, completely. You're right. And that's why often that first wildcard, once it's played for a more balanced squad than your initial squad at the start of the season, which is, like you said, very often heavy on superstars, as many as you can, and then the bench is not that good. After that, you realize that you need sometimes a strong bench. Not that it's my case, and I watched Facundo Pellistri play really well with Uruguay, and I was like, please, because he's in my team, please, Ten Hag, watch the same game as me and play him.
Why is Pellistri in your team?
Budget.
Because, budget is quite cheap. And also, Ian, as you know, I always think the guy, I see clearly something in him that nobody else sees, to be fair. or at least Marcelo Bielsa does for Uruguay. And I'm like, surely at some point, when Anthony
Marcelo
is that
Bielsa
bad,
can't choose across the entire Premier League for players to put into his team, to be fair.
True, but I suspect people at United are watching Uruguay play. And again, I thought he was, especially in that first half the other night, and okay, it was only Bolivia. Bolivia not very good, but Pellistri was really good. And I'm like, okay, at some point he's going to get a chance. If he's my first sub, you know, and he comes on, the other day he came on, gave an assist, and I didn't need him really off my bench, but that would have been nice. So yeah, so you know, for stuff like that, I'm always wishful and maybe a bit too much dreamy that, you know, someone is going to play Pellistri and he's going to do well and then he can come off my bench.
We got sidetracked a little bit there, but Sam, coming back to the point, you've put together a table for us, which is basically the most nailed players in the Premier League. So this is a table of players who have started at least 8 of the opening 12 matches, who have played at least 80 minutes in their games as well. And importantly, they've not been subbed on for a cameo more than once, because there is nothing more frustrating than when your player gets rotated and ends up coming on in the 90th minute to waste time for a one-pointer and block amazing choices like Facundo Pellistri coming off our benches.
Thank you.
So in this list, there's quite a few players, to be fair. Who stands out to you? Who are the ones you were looking at to be sort of the cornerstones of your team over this extremely busy period?
I think, you know, obviously you want to tie this in conjunction with the fixtures and tie it in with the number of games that the clubs have over this period. So like when you're looking at teams like Liverpool, West Ham and Newcastle, they've got 11 matches to play, which is the most. They've got no free midweeks till January. Then you've got other teams like the Spurs is, like the Sheffield United, who've only got 8 in that period. And when you kind of look at that, you go, right, well, the teams that have got less fixtures, ideally they're the ones that I want to invest in because you get more rest time, you use less risk of rotation. So within those teams, then, you want to be looking at the players that are the most likely to start each week, because that means you're less likely to have multiple issues to deal with. Because if, like this week, you've got lots of flags in your team, you're going to need your bench players to cover for those guys. So if Bowen's out and I don't decide to replace him this week because it's short term, then I need Cameron Archer to come in for me this week to replace him, which means I don't want somebody else that's important in my team getting a rest and not starting in this one, because that's going to move me further down the need for my second and my third bench players. And generally, the bench gets worse the closer you get to that third spot, unless you're Jules and then you've got Pelestri as your first benched option. But
genius idea.
Yeah. One interesting word for it. So I think, you know, you could look at teams like your Brentfords, like your Spurs is, who have got less fixtures to play over the coming weeks, and players like Mbeumo, like Son, who have kind of nailed to start. Now, of course, this list would have been much longer was it not for some of the injuries that we've seen in the recent week. So like Maddison would have made it, for example. Romero would have made it had he not been sent off and, you know, had these games to contend with. I think you can look at players like those. You've got Ollie Watkins, you've got Douglas Luiz, you've got players that have been in really good form that hit this list. And so targeting those are good potential options.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree. I think the heavy schedule has to be in every player's mind now, because it makes such a big difference when you have, obviously it's completely obvious, but when you won't play that much than the other teams, for example, and when you think about City and Pep already loves the rotation, as we know, it's going to do that even more, because you just can't play the same team again and again, all over again with all those games. Whereas if you're Ange Postecoglou, it's a very different approach that you have, not even just to rest players, but to work during the week and to be able to prepare for matches. So I think everything that Sam said is so important to keep in mind. That doesn't mean you have to treble up on all those teams that will only have one game per week, but I believe it would make a difference at some point.
What's interesting about Man City at the moment, though, is they've got one of the highest number of players who have played and hit this category, because they've got Akanji, Walker, Diaz, Guardiol, they've got Bernardo, Rodri, Haaland, Alvarez, all of those getting multiple minutes. Now, that makes you kind of feel a little bit safer, I think, with Man City, but you should never really feel that safe with City, particularly coming into this busy
squads,
period.
In fairness, yeah. I mean, yeah. Guardiola does that on purpose. You know, I think when they named their 25-man Premier League squad, there was only 20 players in it. Admittedly, Guardiol and Doku are some of the players who are in that younger bracket that don't need to be included in the 25. But we are getting to a point where he's not, can I say this? I don't know, but Pep Roulette's maybe not as much of a threat as it was, Sam, possibly?
Possibly. I mean, I think it still is in some positions, you know, with your Doku and your Grealish position.
Yeah, true.
Players like that, I think you still do have that threat. But if you want to go for a Bernardo or a Rodri, then you're more likely to get the start from those guys. And we're seeing that with Alvarez alongside Haaland this season as well, that the kind of the security feels like it's going to be there. Now, we should obviously caveat this again, and we talked about it last week, but with the fact that there is a blank coming up for Man City in 18. So we do also have to plan for that alongside the fact that we're going to have rotation, because you don't want to get overly invested in Man City and Brentford only to then come to game week 18, find there's rotation for everybody else and your bench is a nightmare because you don't have anyone because you've put your Man City assets there. So Man City, interesting that they've got so many regular starters this season. And, you know, that's more than when you look at the other big teams that we've all been investing in, like Spurs have got 4, Liverpool have got 5, Arsenal have got 5. So there's like big clubs who we would want to invest in, maybe haven't got as many regular starters as Man City have seen, which feels totally alien to us.
let's look at sort of the longer term planning then for how we negotiate this with our teams, Jules. What would be your one standout piece of advice for how players are going to plan over this period? With there being so many games so close together, do we need to look at the gaps between fixtures? Do we need to look at the fixture list? Or is it just about those players who are going to be in the team every week?
I think it's a balance again. I think you need to look forward a little bit, maybe not all the way between now and Christmas, but certainly the next three games, for example, and see what teams has like favorite fixtures or a good fixture list, let's put it that way. And then I think I really believe that injuries and form is going to play a key part, because this is also now usually where you've got the most players getting injured, because they've already played a lot this season, because the weather changes, because the pitches start to get maybe a little bit more difficult sometimes to play on, all that kind of stuff. And all those games that we mentioned, all those Premier League games and European games and everything. So just make sure that you follow everything that the managers are saying about all the fitness, all the players. There's things that we don't know. So you might get surprised one weekend that one of your players is not playing because we didn't know he needed a bit of a rest, but the managers did. All that kind of stuff is so important, I think, in the way you build your team forward for the next few weeks. And also you're starting 11, and then we go back to how important it is to have a strong bench, which you and I, Ian, certainly don't have, certainly not with Pedestrian in it. But if you can, I think it becomes even more important.
And Sam, I mentioned it in the question there to Jules, but fixture congestion is slightly different for some teams than it is others. Is this also a factor that managers need to be looking at, the rest period that teams have got between games? How much do you give weight to that? I mean, it is a balancing act, like Jules said, but how do you prioritise how you make these decisions?
Yeah, it's massively important, I think, because, you know, if we just take a couple of clubs for now, Man City have got 11 matches to play in 36 days. That's intense. They've got Liverpool and Leipzig. There's 2 days between those games. They've got 4 days between Leipzig and Spurs. They've got 3 days between Villa and Luton, 2 days between Luton and Palace, 2 days between Palace and the Club World Cup. And of course, they've got to fly to Saudi Arabia for that.
Slight issue, yeah.
Yeah. And then they've got the other game at the Club World Cup, and then they're going to fly home. And then between flying back from the Club World Cup and their next game, it's 2 days, and then another 2 days before they face Sheffield United. So that is a really intense schedule for them over the coming weeks. That involves international travel also for Champions League and also for the Club World Cup. That's a lot of football for them to play. When you compare that to Spurs, they've got just 8 games in the same 36-day period. There's 6 days between their game against Villa and the game against Manchester City, 3 days between the game between City and West Ham. Then there's a tight turnaround between West Ham and Newcastle, which is just a couple of days. But then 4 days is the next gap, 6 days, 4 days. So they've got much bigger rest periods. And that rest period is really important, not just for the fact they get a rest, but for the kind of tactical conversations and for planning purposes. So it does make a difference to the teams themselves, and therefore should make a difference to us, because in terms of that potential for rotation, the potential for just tired legs is less.
Amazing, Jules, how Sam finds these different reasons to bring Spurs players in.
Always. It's funny, because she could have picked another team easily, you know, but no, it was all about Spurs.
Talk about Sheffield United as well, if you like. I made notes on them too.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, if you want to. Maybe less inclined for that one. There is a very helpful article as well on PremierLeague.com from The Scout about handling fixture congestion and rotation. In that, it points out that there's been only 10 outfield players so far this season who have played every minute in the Premier League. The good news for FPL is that it's popular players in there, like William Saliba, Jules, yep, like Brian Mbeumo, like Bruno Fernandes as well. So that's maybe worth a look as well as you look ahead to this hectic schedule. Right, let's look ahead to Game Week 13 then. We're glad to have FPL back. We've got a hell of a fixture as well, haven't we, to kick things off. Manchester City against Liverpool. How does this affect our FPL teams, Jules?
I don't think it should change anything at all. I think everybody's more likely to have one of each, at least. Sometimes even two of each, two City players, two Liverpool players. I don't think you should touch them. Don't do anything, because Salah can score, Haaland can score, Alvarez can score, Trent can assist. I don't think we might not get a clean sheet. So if you do have Alisson or Ederson or one of the defenders, then you'll have to see what happens. But this is a big game. There's very often goals in this fixture, apart from, if you remember, in October last year when Mo Salah scored that late goal at Anfield for the 1-0 win for Liverpool, then usually there's 3-2s, there's 2-2s, there's sometimes heavy scores, 4-1, 4-0. I just don't think this game is too big. Those players are too big. Those teams are too big. And we also saw recently with the Chelsea City game, that the kind of approach that Liverpool will have, which I think could be very similar to the Chelsea one, albeit away from home, would be to be very aggressive, to put a lot of intensity in that game, which I think opens up City a bit. You concede, but you also create your own chances. So you could easily see this game finishing 3-2, 2-2, for example, or something like that. So your players are likely, especially the attacking one, to shine.
That would be great, wouldn't it, if we get something that was a bit like Chelsea against Manchester City against Sam. What a match that was. I mean, it's almost impossible for us to ignore this game, isn't it? Because we've got so much invested in players from both of these teams. The captain pick for us could well, which we'll come on to later, could well come from this fixture too. But it's 12:30 and it's the first game after an international break. And those two things are normally things that we kind of avoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'd never captain anyone in the 12:30 kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
I might this week because I'm struggling for captaincy options elsewhere. More on that later. But I think George is absolutely right. I think with the attacking players, you know, when you look at who's got the most goal involvements this season, the top six, four of them are going to be playing in this game because obviously Haaland's got the most with 16. Then there's Salah with 14, level with Watkins. Then you've got Saka, Nunes, and Alvarez with 10 each. So Haaland, Salah, Nunes, Alvarez, it feels like, you know, if you've got them in your team, you're going to want to be playing them this week. Nunes and his international travel doesn't normally mean a start when he comes back. But, you know, both sides have won heavily after the international break in recent weeks. Both sets of players have been in good form. I don't think I'll play Tsimikas simply because I don't think that there's a clean sheet there for Liverpool. But, you know, we did see when I didn't play him last time that didn't exactly go well. However, I think with the attacking assets, you just want to play them. To be honest, this week, with the amount of flags that you've got elsewhere, you're probably going to have to play them, even if you didn't want to.
Yeah, that has changed things, definitely. I mean, when you look at City in particular, Jules, this is a difficult fixture, but it's at home.
Yeah.
And therefore, even against the best teams at home, it is very, very good. But there is that blank coming up in game week 18, like Sam spoke about before. Is this an excuse to maybe take out some of the decoration around Haaland from your teams from Manchester City?
It might be a bit too early. It's not a bad shout if you don't have that kind of feeling with the fixtures and just think that City might not be playing as well because it's against Liverpool and it's a huge game, then it might not be a bad shout. I'd be really tempted to keep all the, I mean, especially the attacking options from Manchester City if you have all your attacking assets from that team, because they can score so many goals against anybody, anytime. So as we saw already this season, so Alvarez, Foden, I don't think Doku will start, but if you have Doku, okay, maybe that's a different conversation, but Foden, Grealish, Haaland, Alvarez, Bernardo Silva, even Rodri, because we saw the threat that he brings now, even from his shooting outside of the box, all of that is, for me, an absolute keeper for the weekend.
Yeah, that made sense. Sam, in terms of the other fixtures that we've got as well, there's Newcastle, Chelsea, West Ham. You know, that we've talked about Jared Bowen a little bit, but they're away to Burnley, which will be a game that people will have eyes on. Spurs, Villa as well on Sunday. I mean, for our FPL teams, we talked last week on the pod about the way that the fixtures were changing for some of the popular assets and maybe opening up for some of the players that we don't own. Go back and listen to that if you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. But what else is standing out to you from these games as we come back from the international break?
I mean, I think there are three teams that really stood out for me this week, because you're going to be wanting to look at teams that have got good fixtures this week in particular, because this week is tricky to navigate, but then also have a nice-ish schedule going through the festive period, don't have too many fixtures, and players that you can bank on to start over that period of time. So obviously West Ham, as you mentioned, they've got a great fixture this week against Burnley. In fact, they've got really nice fixtures all round. After Burnley, it's Palace, then it's Spurs, Fulham, Man United, and then Arsenal and Brighton. So you know, it's a couple of tricky ones in there, but mostly the fixtures are really nice for West Ham. So you've got the Bowens, the Areolas, who have been popular now. with Bowen, we're just going to have to wait and see and make a decision based upon what David Moyes says or doesn't say in his press conference tomorrow. But you've also got players like Kudus, like Zuma, who if you wanted to double up, you absolutely could or move towards them. Relatively small squad for West Ham. So again, less risk of rotation than maybe we get some other teams. But their involvement in the Europa League as well as the League Cup does put me off somewhat because 11 games over this period is tricky. And I think with Bowen, I was happy to be there. With the goalkeeper, I'm still happy to be invested because I think in the coming weeks there should be, and I know there has only been one so far, but there should be clean sheets in the coming weeks. And I don't think that managers should use their transfer this week to take out the goalkeeper. I think there's going to be so many other issues that you have to deal with. And yes, you could move for one of the other goalkeepers that have got nice fixtures. Like, you know, you could go to Sam Johnson if you wanted. But I think moving forward, Areola still looks like a really nice option in goal.
Jules, you mentioned before about Gabriel Jesus being back in action for Brazil during this international break. Arsenal are away at Brentford. It's another one of the standout fixtures for us. And we talked about Arsenal's fixtures on the last two podcasts, I think, because they're in a decent spell at the moment. Is this a time to be looking towards them with City facing Liverpool, Spurs facing Aston Villa? Are they the beacon for you at the minute?
I think they are. I mean, they are up there somewhere because when you think about it, okay, Brentford away, although they won 3-0 last season and were really impressive, and Martin Odegaard is back now as well. So they, with Gabriel Jesus too, they look even from the team that can start that game on Saturday, is the late kickoff. They look really good. Then you've got Wolves, Luton. Okay, Villa is a bit tricky. Villa, Brighton back-to-back with Liverpool. And then West Ham, Fulham, Crystal Palace, Forest. So there's really good fixtures there. I think the fact that City will play Liverpool in terms of motivation, again, I think it's a bit of a cliche and so obvious. But if you're an Arsenal player, you know that this game at Brentford is a huge opportunity for you to maybe get points over City and Liverpool, especially in the hope of a draw, for example, between them at the Etihad. So you're going to go for it. I think the Gabriel Jesus return is huge news, especially because maybe we didn't see that coming when he was called up at Brazil. And I think a lot of us thought he can't go. He's just been injured for like 3 weeks or something. And yet he went, trained well over there, played decently against Argentina in a game that was not really pretty to watch or to play in even. But at least he got that under his belt. Now he comes back and surely he should start for Arsenal on Saturday. So Gabriel Jesus brings something so different to this team than Nketiah, for example, or even Trossard. So I do think that Arsenal look in really, really good shape. And if you have Gabriel Jesus or if you're looking for a differential, then him coming back, I think is a very decent option.
And also though, Jules, the people that went for Nketiah have got another issue on their hands now, surely, because he won't be flagged, but equally is unlikely that he's going to start now with Jesus back. So that might be another thing that managers have to deal with.
Yeah, completely.
Great this, isn't it? Just feels like we've got loads of issues that we didn't necessarily have before the international break, but that's FPL, that's the fun. Okay, let's talk differentials then. None of us did very well before the international break, so we'll gloss over that. You two have got a head-to-head now, which is very intriguing. Sam, you're doing better than Jules, as we spoke about last week.
Slightly better.
It's better.
Yeah, it's quite substantial.
Better. I don't think we need to caveat it any more than it's better. I think that's fine. Sam, I'll let you go first, as you are the best person.
Oh my God.
Differentials.
Slightly better. Yes. Slightly better.
The best, I think you'll find the answer.
Who are you going for game week 13, Sam?
I actually have notes on two
again.
This week, and I couldn't really decide between them, but I'm going to go with Eze from Palace. He's going to cost you 6.1 million. He is owned by 3.9% of the game. Obviously came back from injury in game week 11, having missed three game weeks through injury. Got 32 minutes under his belt against Burnley and got an assist for their second goal in that one. He then started in game week 13, scored in that one, and he's kind of now got back-to-back returns, even though he's only started in that one fixture. Coming up against Luton this time around, they've got no clean sheets so far this season and have conceded 22 goals. So I think there's a good opportunity there for Eze to get some returns. And I had a little look at his numbers versus the newly promoted sides during his career. And he's been averaging 5.36 points per match against newly promoted clubs. So I'm expecting something decent from Eze this weekend, particularly as when Crystal Palace score and he's on the pitch, he does tend to be the one that's involved.
Eze, interesting. Jules, you're second best at this. Who have you gone for?
Slightly. So Eze was on my list, and so is Mikael Olise, who is also coming back from his injury and played 23 minutes in the last game in game week 12. And I don't know if he would start this game against Luton, although I think he worked really hard in this international break. So if you don't fancy Eze, or if you want a cheaper Palace option, I think Olise, maybe this week, maybe next week, becomes as well a very good option. And I think them two are key for Palace. So I had two other names. One is Gabriel Jesus, of course, after watching him against Argentina the other day, because he's only owned by 1.9%. The only thing with Jesus is the price, of course. 7.8 million is still a lot of money. But I think in terms of differential, it's hard to do more than just a 2% owned striker like him. So that's one to keep in mind. But I went for Cole Palmer, even if it's a tough fixture again for Chelsea, of course, against Newcastle.
Cole Palmer still a differential?
Yes, he's only 8.6%.
Wow. You think the world owned him the way people talk about Cole Palmer?
I know. Maybe it's the fact that it's those fixtures, Ian, you know, and you know, Newcastle away is not an easy fixture at all for Chelsea. But we saw him, I think, doing well in the big games and against the big teams.
Definitely.
And I think he's been so impressive. I think the England call-up and the first cap the other day, also in terms of, can you just imagine the boost that you must feel in terms of confidence already in what has been a very good season for you, much better than maybe what you expected yourself, but certainly what a lot of people expected around you. So I think Cole Palmer, even with a difficult fixture away at Newcastle, and then there will be Brighton and United, but I trust him, not just because of penalties, but I trust him to be good in those games too.
Yeah, his last two away games, he scored 12 points both times, away to Tottenham and away to Burnley. He's returned in his last three away games. So I can't believe he's still a differential. Brilliant. Yeah.
I don't think he will be after this week. I think with Bowen out, with players selling Madison if they haven't done so already.
Are you saying Jules is cheating slightly then, Sam?
Oh my God!
No. He's all right for this week. What I'm saying is, I think that next week I'll be surprised if Cole Palmer's still a differential by the time we hit game week 10. By the time we hit game week 14, Cole Palmer will be owned by over 10% of the game, because I think a lot of managers, it'll be one that I'll look at. If Bowen's out longer term, I'll look at him because I think he makes for a really nice cheap option. Andrews would allow me to upgrade my third striker and maybe have somebody like Jesus in there, because I don't have an Arsenal attacker so far. And a lot of managers will think the same way, I think. So he'll be popular.
Yeah, it could be a way of sort of moving things around so you can get that Arsenal player in. It's not Bukayo Saka, who's blocking a lot of popular midfielders potentially. I had Eze written down as well, but my backup option, which I'll go to, considering I don't want to pick the same as you, Sam, just to make it different, not because I think it's a bad pick, I think it's a good pick, is Dominic Solanke. He's my differential. 3.8% owned, a bit like Cole Palmer. He's talked about a lot, considering how low his ownership is. We said it last week, but just to repeat, Harlan Watkins and Alvarez are the only forwards in the game who have got more points this season than Solanke. He's 6.4 million. He's away to Sheffield United. He got two goals for 13 points against Newcastle before the international break. He's my differential pick for the week.
Nice.
I love him. I think that's a really nice punt this week. Yeah. If you've got no issues in your team, I think getting Solanke in is a really nice idea.
Thank you. We'll see how we get on. We'll update everyone next week, of course. We won't gloat or anything, will we? They come in and others don't. You know how that goes. Let's talk captains then. I feel like this is probably one of the biggest, not biggest, but most difficult decisions for captain that we've had so far this season, mainly because, you know, two of the obvious options, Haaland and Salah, are facing each other. Sam, what are you thinking?
So the old man sat on Bowen ever since the deadline passed for game week 12, because he was going to be my captain this week. I was fully invested in Bowen, scored in every away match so far, six games. He's just been in such good form, and coming up against a Burnley side that have conceded so many goals, it's 30, only Sheffield United have conceded more. So I was like, right, that's done. And I thought this was going to be a really easy week for captains. With Bowen now a doubt, clearly I can't risk captaining him in case he doesn't, well, if he doesn't start altogether, it's not the end of the world, but then you're relying on your vice and I don't like that. So I'm going to have to look elsewhere. I think there are other options that you could look at. I think, you know, there's Son against the Villa high line, could be a good option. But then do you want to do that given the creativity is potentially lacking at Spurs if we play Højbjerg in that position? I think it's different if he plays Lo Celso, obviously got an assist over international break. I'd be much more confident captaining Son if I knew that Lo Celso was sitting in that Madison slot instead.
Do you not think it'll be Lo Celso who comes in considering Basuma's suspended and Højbjerg drops back?
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping that Højbjerg will sit in the Basuma role. There's also Bentancourt in there as well, who could get the nod. So I'm certainly hoping that he gives Gio the start this time, because I do think that will give Spurs more creativity and that will be better for Sonny. I think if you don't want to risk that, then you've got the Arsenal boys, you know, Saka, Martinelli. I think both of them look like decent options. Saka's got a goal and three assists against Brentford in the league in his matches, and he's returned in all of the last three Premier League meetings. So, I don't know, 10 goal involvements this season. He's in great form, even if he doesn't necessarily look like he's in as good form as he was last season. And I think a lot of managers might look away on that basis. So yeah, there's those. But then I'm also, and I never, as Jules will know, never ever captain anyone in the 12:30 kickoff. I hate it. I hate captaining someone in the opening game. However, it is getting to a point where I don't have an Arsenal attacker to captain. I probably might not have Bowen to captain. I don't know how I feel about captaining Son. So then I'm looking at that game, and then it comes down to a straight choice between Haaland and Salah. And for me, I'd go for Salah, who has returned in all of his last five meetings against Man City, even if he's the away team. Difficult one.
Yeah, I feel like that's cleared a lot up, Sam. Thank you.
It's not. It's cleared nothing up, because I don't
know
what I'm
doing. Just made me more confused.
I know, right?
Jules?
I back everything Sam just said. I'm really interested in the Spurs Villa game. We haven't had the time to talk about it really, and we don't need to go too much details. But I think the two of the highest defensive lines, is that what you said, in the league. So I'm just seeing that game as like for a Watkins, for
circle.
Son, yeah, for Diaby. But then whoever picks the best pass will create chance after chance after chance after chance. I can see that Spurs Villa game being like really high scoring game. And if you own Watkins or Diaby or McGinn or Son and Kulusevski, whoever you are, Brandon Johnson, even if you won, I suppose, I think it could be a lot of fun. That's why I'm tempted about Son or Watkins. I don't believe in Salah so much away at City. I don't know. For the thing that we said earlier about the game that could be very open and with a lot of goals like the Chelsea City one, we could also have one team, and it's more likely to be City really at the Etihad, that control that game quite well and just doesn't give much to Liverpool at all on the other hand. So I don't know. I'm really tempted by Watkins or Son, even Watkins away at Spurs. I think that could be a very good idea. Otherwise, I think it will have to be Haaland.
Yeah, you said about Salah there, Jules. I mean, Sam mentioned his record against City a moment ago, but just to spell it out as well, he scored in all four of his games against Manchester City last year in all competitions, including two goals at the Etihad Stadium, one in the Premier League, one in the EFL Cup. And in the league, he's only failed to score in one of the last four matches against City at the Etihad Stadium. And he stands on the brink of a little bit of history this weekend as well. He's one goal away from 150 Premier League goals. He's two goals away from 200 goals for Liverpool in all competitions. His favourite opponent at the moment is Manchester United. He scored 12 goals against them, but he's got 11 against City. So one more, he makes City's favourite opponents as well. I mean, there's a lot there that makes me think.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's 12:30.
Yeah,
but the 12:30 thing is only for you, Sam, because then that ruins your weekend. No more people, whether it's like early on Saturday, late, early on Sunday, late on Sunday, really should not matter. That's not how you should pick your captain.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But I much prefer captain somewhere in the late kickoff. I much prefer it.
Yeah.
That's going to go down to the wire, that decision, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully Moyes says Bowen's fit and then I just captain him. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Let's talk about transfers then. This is another one that's going to be quite difficult to answer, isn't it? I mean, just looking at my own team, I was planning for three moves for a -4.
Three moves?
Well, yeah, it was going to bring Erling Haaland back.
To bring Haaland back, yeah?
Exactly. However, I've now got Matty Cash flagged, which I don't even know why he's flagged. I've got Bowen and Matoma flagged as well. And these were all players who weren't going to be part of this three transfer move to bring in Erling Haaland. So I'm literally all over the place. I'm going to be like scrambling around on Friday trying to listen to every single manager speak about nearly every single player to try and find some way to work out a new plan for exactly what I'm going to do. Because you mentioned before as well, my bench isn't very good, so I can't rely on that. So yeah.
That sums up your season well. That sums up your season well.
Probably why I'm over 3 million in the world, to be fair. But yeah, let's move on.
So I'm going to roll, and no transfer this week. I'm going to roll it to have two free transfers next week.
How can you roll when there's a week where there's so many flags? Oh, you don't have Bowen, do you?
No, I don't have Bowen. I don't have too many flags, actually. And I want Darwin, not for this game, although I think he's going to do well against City, but certainly for the week after against Palace. So no transfers. I get two free transfers for game week 14, which means
what
I can bring
Matoma
Darwin.
Matoma, Jules? You own Matoma, don't you?
Matoma is fine. Matoma is fine.
Orange
sure
flagged.
Fine. Orange flagged. 50% chances of playing at the moment. I listened to what the Zerbi has to say. And if he doesn't play, I've got my boy Pelistri to come on and have an amazing game for your beloved Manchester United. So I'll be vindicated then. So I'm good.
Well, that would be good because your other two players on the bench are likely to be Kabore and Lamptey. They're also flagged. So, yeah.
Won't be top of the league for much longer, will you, Joel?
Oh, whoa. Wait until you see me again this weekend with a high score.
Just 7 points still to point out between Jules, Kelly and Sam.
That's all I need, seven. That's all I need to be the winner.
Sam, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'll go above Jules this week if he's not making any transfers.
Is this the bit where we caveat the fact that he says what he says on the pod and then it changes completely by the time the deadline comes?
100%. He says he's going to captain Son or Watkins. He'll be captain in Salah and then he'll have made a minus four as well. Never do that.
But you two sound really arrogant today. I don't know if it's the French in me that is just like filtering to you or something.
Oh, are you okay, Jules? Do you need a cuddle, mate? You're right.
It's good. I mean, I think arrogance is a style, you know.
Your season's going great. That's the only reason we're picking on you.
Oh, thank you.
Don't give him praise, Ian. Gosh, you'll never hear the end of it.
I can say one word of it in a 40-minute
thank
podcast.
Thank you, Ian. Ian is a real friend, that's why. Not like you.
Oh, harsh.
Let's talk about my team then. Magical recipe, yeah.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing yet because I was hoping to roll the transfer this week and I think Haaland will be fine. I was hoping that Bowen would you know, come through the international break, be the captain and be an absolute superstar. And then I was planning to roll the transfer and then use the two for game week 14 so I could invest in whichever Arsenal player that I fancied and kind of make some progress along that lines. I now have three flags. Haaland, I think, is fine. Bowen and then Matty Cash, who, like you, Ian, I'm a bit like, what's up with you, Matty Cash? Where's that come from?
Mate.
Yeah, can you sort yourself out? Although having said that, I don't think he's going to keep a clean sheet against Spurs anyway at the weekend. So maybe there's a transfer that I have to make there. I think if Bowen is ruled out longer term, then I need to have a real careful think about where and how I want to use my budget moving forward. So do I just move him across to somebody like Mbeumo because that way I can target in on the nice Brentford fixtures over the coming weeks and have him there, or do I want to save even more budget and go down to Cole Palmer? And by doing that, then enable me to upgrade elsewhere over the coming week. So it's going to come down to what Moy says about Bowen and then where I want to go with my strategy moving forward. But Cole Palmer or Mbeumo feel like the way that I'll likely go with Bowen if he's out for more than just this week.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. It definitely feels like a tricky few days ahead for us with decisions with our FPL teams, with all these flags. Make sure you listen to the managers. Make sure you're taking that information before you make your transfers if you've not already brought in Jared Bowen, like it seems a lot of managers have across the world in FPL. But that's it for the show. Sam and Jules, thank you so much for joining us. As always, if you want to join the FPL Pod League, you can do that. The code is IB3WLK. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday with Praz. I'll be in the studio alongside him. We've not mentioned it yet, so remember the deadline. Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, 90 minutes ahead of Manchester City, Liverpool. That's UK time. That's AM, of course, as always. Off the Bench is back on Tuesday to reflect on whatever happens on game week 13, whatever decisions we make in this crazy period for our FPL sides. But that's it for the show. Thank you for listening, as always. Good luck, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.